2CH 1170, Sunday Night Open Line.
A few years ago, I was at home and listening to the radio, and it was the 6 a.m. news on Christmas Day, and the newsreader said something like, Christmas celebrations are underway in Bethlehem, where it's believed that Jesus was born. And for me, I was listening to the radio and had one of those, what? Moments. Are you suggesting that Jesus possibly wasn't born in Bethlehem, or are you suggesting that Jesus possibly was never born? And I was just so astonished. I remember emailing the newsroom and saying you need to fix that story because ancient historians hold that Jesus did exist, and people can debate whether or not he rose from the dead. People could debate whether or not he fed 5,000 people, whether he walked on water. But whether or not there was a man called Jesus, really, it's like saying whether or not there was a man called Alexander the Great or whether or not there was a man called Julius Caesar. I think that case is settled. In fact, in the library at Macquarie University, which is home to the largest ancient history department in Australia, there are probably as many books devoted to the historical Jesus as there are to Alexander the Great and Caesar combined. In fact, John Dixon, the Anglican minister at Roseville and the founding director of the Centre for Public Christianity, and he lectures in this area at Sydney Uni, he, in fact, famously offered that he would say, I'll give you the quote, I will eat a page of my Bible if someone can find me just one full professor of ancient history, classics or New Testament in an accredited university somewhere in the world who thinks Jesus never lived. Anyway, the man we're going to talk to in a moment has put out a short self-published book and an article that got a bit of traction around Christmas on the Conversation website and was actually picked up by the New York Times. And he's a guy who says Jesus never lived. His name is Raphael Letasada, and I raised my eyebrows when I heard of his article and thought, wow, you mean there is someone who thinks this? The response to his article was pretty strong. New Testament lecturer Michael Bird from Melbourne wrote of theories like Mr. Letasada's, quote, those of us who work in the academic profession of religion and history simply have a hard time taking them seriously. They are the equivalent of climate change deniers or 9/11 conspiracy theorists. None of them are bona fide academics with tenure at a respected institution in the field, have peer-reviewed publications, and are recognized as experts in their area. He goes on to say the Jesus mythicists are a group of enthusiastic atheists who, through websites and self-published books, try to prove the equivalent of a flat earth. And his article goes on, I serve, this is Michael Bird speaking, on the editorial board for the Journal of the Study of the Historical Jesus, where we have an editorial team of people from all faiths and none, celebrated experts in their field, and I can tell you that the Jesus mythicist nonsense would never get a foot in the door of a peer-reviewed journal committed to the academic study of the historical Jesus. He says the view that Jesus was a myth is promoted by, and here's his quote, an energetic bunch of fringe atheists, and it's never been entertained as a possibility by experienced and respected scholars working in the fields of Christian origins. Now, in a moment, we'll talk to Dr. Lionel Windsor, who's a lecturer in New Testament at Moore Theological College in Newtown, and get his take on it. But first, I caught up earlier with Raphael Letasada. Raphael, good evening.
Good evening. Thank you very much for inviting me.
That's a pleasure. Mate, could we first just establish your academic qualifications? Just the New York Times called you a lecturer in religion, and others have called you a student. What's your role at Sydney Uni?
Right. There seems to be a bit of confusion there. I am a postgraduate student there. I'm doing my PhD in religious studies, having done my Master of Arts in religious studies, and I do teach there. I have given shoots and lectures, but I am not a full-time lecturer at the uni.
That's sure. What have you actually lectured in?
In religious studies.
In religious studies.
Focusing on early Christianity and Judaism as well.
Right. And that's the area you've tutored in the religion department?
Yes, in the studies in religion department.
Sure.
Yes.
What about over in the history department? What have you done in that department?
No, I haven't had much dealings with the history department. They don't do much biblical history at the University of Sydney. My biggest interactions with Australian historians really have been with Macquarie University's Ancient History Department. There seem to be a lot of Christian scholars there. I've debated one. I'm trying to debate another, John Dixon.
Now,
that's my interactions with him.
You've written this article just before Christmas, coming out of your book, There Is No Jesus, There Is No God, where you're really stepping way outside the historian's academic consensus. Are you alleging some kind of academic conspiracy here, or what's your thesis?
No, I don't accept that. I'm not getting out of the academic consensus. I mean, as for saying that there's no good evidence for God existing, that's pretty mainstream among secular scholars, as you can imagine. And the same thing applies to the Christ of faith, where the attention is to the so-called historical Jesus, that is in that small field, indeed, a minority view.
So just on the issue of, though, did Jesus exist as a person in the first century? I mean, let's just go through some of the things. As Michael Bird has written, quoting E.P. Sanders, just that he asserts that Jesus was born around 4 BC during the time of Herod the Great. Do you think that happened, or don't you think that happened?
I am not convinced. I don't think that happened. I don't think the sources are...
What about Jesus spending his childhood and early adult years in Nazareth, Galilee?
No, I don't...
Jesus baptized by John the Baptist?
I don't accept any of it.
You don't think he called disciples?
Many mainstream historians also reject the earlier stories.
So you're really saying there was no person who walked around Galilee, Nazareth, Jerusalem?
Nearly. I'm saying I'm not convinced of it. I'm not exactly a Jesus mythicist, if that is someone that says Jesus didn't exist, but I call it a Jesus agnostic, or at least a historical Jesus agnostic. I'm much more firm when it comes to the biblical Jesus. But as for the so-called historical Jesus, which is basically the atheist scholar's conception of Jesus, I'm not convinced of it.
So you don't think there was a man arrested by Pontius Pilate?
I think I've already answered that. I'm not convinced of it.
Right, okay. How do you react then when someone like Michael Bird calls you a 9/11 conspiracy theorist or a climate change denier equivalent?
Well, first of all, I obviously disagree with that. Second of all, we should avoid such ad hominem argumentation and focus on the actual arguments, which are quite good, I believe, and a lot of other people think so as well. And I actually, he kind of didn't get the memo, because I basically said this is not something that I want to discuss with Christians. With Christians, I'd much rather discuss the far more relevant Christ of faith. This is a discussion, as I said in the article, amongst atheists. This is not a discussion, I think, that I and other people pushing this view should be having with Christians. We can discuss a far more relevant and for us, I think, a far easier thing to discuss, and that is the Christ of faith. That is the Jesus that actually matters.
I can see that from your point of view, why you would want to frame the discussion like that. Mm. But for a Christian person, it's absolutely crucial that Jesus existed.
Mm-hmm. There's definitely some overlap, but I prefer...
Not just overlap. If Jesus didn't exist, if the resurrection didn't happen, then faith is futile, one's still in one's sins. You shouldn't be a Christian.
Well, that's not actually true, because there's many
the Apostle Paul says. He does say that in 1 Corinthians 15.
That's fine if he says that, but I'm saying there's many ways you can be a Christian. You don't actually have to rely on the resurrection. There's plenty of Christians that don't believe in the resurrection.
Well, if you just go back to a quote like something like C.S. Lewis, and I'm sure you're familiar with it, where C.S. Lewis talked about the perspective of Jesus is either a liar, a lunatic, or the Lord. And which take on Jesus would you take? Would you think of him as a liar, that he made these crazy claims? Would you think he was a lunatic for making these crazy claims? Or would you actually take those claims seriously and see him as the Lord of all the universe?
I don't think I would really have to go there, because I'm not too convinced that...
Well, you don't think he existed at all.
But if I grant that Jesus existed, which I'm happy to do when discussing with Christians, discussing the far more relevant Christ of faith, I'm willing to just grant that, then the discussion for me revolves around the miraculous claims, which I think are implausible.
Well,
and that is a mainstream view, of course.
Well, you seem to rule them out, before you even are prepared to consider them.
No, that's not true. Why do you say that?
Just the way
I have considered them. I used to believe them.
You used to believe them, you say?
Yeah.
You used to believe that Jesus rose from the dead?
Definitely.
Yeah? And what caused you to reject that?
Well, I started learning about evidence, and I started to look into it for myself and not just taking it all for granted. And I realized that the evidence for events like Jesus' resurrection is actually quite poor.
Whereas I took the opposite journey. And so at 20, how old are you?
I won't disclose that.
Sure. Okay. Well, when I was in my early 20s, yeah. I didn't believe in Christianity and didn't believe in the resurrection of Jesus.
Yeah.
And then over a period of investigation, checked out the criteria and became convinced that it was true that Jesus had risen from the dead. And right. But it was a slow, dragging investigatory process for me, and almost a kicking and screaming investigative process for me, because in the end, if I did become convinced that he had risen from the dead, then he needed to be Lord of my life. And so I didn't want to accept that at first, because I wanted me to be Lord of my life. So I can actually date the day when I became convinced.
What was the evidence that convinced you of that? Because I took, obviously, the opposite path. I thought, well, the evidence is really bad. You seem to think it's really good.
Part of it was the documentary evidence of the New Testament. I know
you have no eyewitness accounts, so I think it's at best a second.
I mean, I read this in your book, and I thought, actually, I thought you had invented a criteria that was acceptable to you, and then said, well, they don't meet my criteria, and so therefore I think they're unacceptable.
It's actually mainstream history that primary sources are of the utmost importance, and we don't have any primary sources when it comes to Jesus. That's a little bit of a problem, especially considering the grandiose claim.
No, you do have a primary source. I became convinced that you had a primary source.
What primary source do we have?
Well, you have the Apostle Paul, he met the risen Jesus on the road to Damascus. He had a conversation with Jesus. Jesus said, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" He sees that was a personal.
That's already implausible claim.
No, that's because you don't believe in the supernatural, so you reject it.
Well, then that reveals that how bankrupt this method is. You now need to prove the supernatural in order to convince me that this evidence is good. You now need to convince me that God exists.
Well, you've primus facie ruled out the possibility that any claim of the supernatural might be real.
That's not true. I'm open to all religious claims. But the onus is on you or anybody else trying to convince me otherwise to show me that God exists. If you can show me that God exists, then yes, maybe I will take Paul seriously. Maybe I will take the gospel author seriously.
All righty. Thanks for talking to us tonight.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
That's Raphael Latassada, and he's a PhD student at Sydney Uni, and I think flying in the face of mainstream scholarship in that he says Jesus didn't exist. What do you make of what he had to say? 1300 13 1170. Now, Dr. Lionel Windsor is on the line and has heard that conversation. Dr. Windsor is a lecturer at Moore Theological College in Newtown. Dr. Windsor, good evening.
Good evening, Dominic. How are you?
Very well. Let's start with the existence of Jesus in history. And in the interview we just did with Raphael Latasta, he says Jesus never existed. And he claims his view is not outside the academic consensus, and that view is mainstream among secular scholars. Whereas Michael Bird says the Jesus myth view is the sole possession of an energetic bunch of fringe atheists. What do you say? Is Michael Bird right, or is Raphael Latasta right?
Well, Dominic, I think there's actually kind of two arguments that Raphael Latasta has from what I heard. He has a philosophical argument about the existence of God and the miraculous in general, saying that sort of that is not plausible.
He completely rejects the supernatural.
He completely rejects the supernatural. Now, I don't agree with him. I think that bit is relative, if you want to talk about what's mainstream or not, I think that bit, I guess, is relatively mainstream among certain philosophical scholars. But there's another argument that he's got, which is the one you mentioned, which is about the historical existence of the person called Jesus. And I think in that regard, yeah, Michael Bird's exactly right, that it is fringe. It is very much a very, very minority and fringe theory among scholarship.
And yet he was claiming it as mainstream in that interview.
Just listening to what he said, it sounded like he was saying that the whole existence of God, miraculous, was more mainstream. He did mention that it was a minority view, that his view about the existence of Jesus. I think it's a bit more than minority, though. I think that it is actually what you'd probably call fringe, I would say. Can I just give an example? I've got my particular interest is in the Apostle Paul, and I've got a letter of the Apostle Paul open in front of me from the Bible, the New Testament. It's a letter that Paul wrote to a church in Corinth about 20 years after Jesus' crucifixion, approximately 20 years. Paul's writing there to remind Christians, the Christians in that church, about the facts of Jesus' life and death and resurrection. And these are facts he'd received through normal processes of passing on information, which were clearly current among Christians. And it includes a whole bunch of about Jesus' life. Do you mind if I read it?
Yeah.
Okay. So he says, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, he says, "For what I received," that is what he received through standard human information transmission processes, he says, "I passed on to you as of first importance that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, that he appeared to Cephas," that is Peter, "and then to the 12, and after that he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, and then to all the apostles, and last of all, he appeared to me also as to one abnormally born." And, I know there's a number of claims in there, but you might have noticed that what's going on here is a bunch of Christians. There's a church and a Christian leader, Paul, who are all acting quite normally as if Jesus was actually a real historical figure, and they're talking about and discussing events of his death and reports of his resurrection, about 20 years of reported events. So, and Paul mentions Peter, one of Jesus' close disciples, and James, Jesus' brother, and these are people also known to the Corinthian church. And so, yes, I know there's people who kind of dispute the precise claims about Jesus' life, but historically you'd have to be very hard-pressed to take this information and then conclude that Jesus didn't even exist at all. 20 years, it's like the difference between the 1990s and today.
And we remember the 1990s.
Well, yeah, I was actually just, musing. I was thinking what would kind of be the equivalent of Letesta's claim. And so say there was a figure who was completely and utterly made up as a fictional character in the 1990s. So I was thinking of Homer Simpson. And, would it be plausible at all that there'd be a whole group, a whole movement of people in a region of the world or more who all take for granted that, of course Homer Simpson existed. He was a real person. And who talk about his relatives and friends as if they know them well and who spend time discussing the significance of certain facts about his life.
You're saying that if Letesta is saying that Jesus was a myth, you've picked a mythical figure from the 90s and you've said now, 20 years later, people are saying that guy really existed. Yeah.
That wouldn't be plausible today. I don't think it's plausible. It's a plausible interpretation of what we read in the New Testament
and
what we read in Paul's letter.
I can tell you about a historical event from 1988. I was present at the Olympic Games in Seoul when Ben Johnson and Carl Lewis raced off, and Johnson beat Lewis at a time of 9.79 seconds. And then was disqualified for drug cheating, and then later Lewis was disqualified for drug cheating. And I remember that quite clearly. It made a distinctive impression on me. I was only sort of 50 or so metres away from the finish line, and I here it is, 25 years later or whatever, 27 years later, and I can say, yes, it happened. I remember it.
So you were a witness of the events. And
if you tried to tell me that it was a myth, I would dispute that.
That's right. And it just is not plausible that I would now go around saying, well, that was all a myth.
Now, what about this distinction that Mr. Lasseter wants to draw between the Jesus of history and the Christ of faith? I'm taking it you wouldn't accept that distinction, just to put that down.
So it's a distinction, but it was a bit strange. I mean, it sounded like he doesn't want to talk with Christians at all about the Jesus of history. He just wants to talk with Christians about the Christ of faith, and he wants to talk with other people about the Jesus of history. And, you know, I guess that's his preference, but I just would seem strange to me. I think he's plugging into a distinction that has been made by various theologians and biblical scholars down through the centuries, especially the last two or three centuries. But he's taking that distinction, which people do talk about, and he's turning it into some kind of radical either-or proposition. You know, if you either believe in the Jesus of history or the Christ of faith, and there's, you know, not much meeting between them or whatever. But the thing is, the Christian claim, the Apostle Paul's claim, the claim of the Gospels, is that the Jesus Christ who we believe in, the Christ of faith, if you want to call him that, did actually exist in history. And that's actually really important to us.
Mm. And when I tried to say it was absolutely crucial for my Christian faith that Jesus was a real person, he almost poo-pooed that.
Well, yeah, that's right. But that is, I guess he can poo-poo whatever he wants, but it just doesn't make sense of what Christians actually believe. And it's important.
Now, he says that you can be a Christian without believing in the resurrection of Jesus. What do you say to that?
Well, again, there's all sorts of people in the world who claim the name Christian and believe all sorts of things. So if you're just talking about the sociological point, I can't dispute that. I know people who want to say they're Christians and they believe in the resurrection. But certainly that wasn't the view of the earliest apostle Paul, because he said, if Jesus is still dead, then in the same chapter that I quoted before, actually, that I've got here, if Jesus is still dead, that Christians have got no hope and no real reason to be Christian. And he said his job as apostle would be stupid if Jesus didn't rise from the dead. And, yeah, I agree with him. And Christians who do...
Sorry, you agree with Paul or you agree with Lasseter?
I agree with Paul, the apostle
right.
Paul. And not with Lathaster. I think it's really important. And the reason is this claim that Jesus is alive, and actually not only that he's alive, that he existed and is alive, it means that God's Son has actually lived as one of us, that he really sympathizes with us, that he really loves us, that he really died for us to bring forgiveness, that he really rose from the dead so we can really have life forever. And that's scandalous, but it's kind of the point of being Christian. And I think it's wonderful. I think it's amazing. And it's what Christmas and Easter are all about. That's kind of the point. So for him to arbitrate on what sort of arbitrated out of the conversation, I don't think he'll anyone. Hmm. We need to be having this conversation and not to just, you know, rule it out and ask what, you know, what he would prefer to talk about.
Right.
I think it's actually quite very important for Christians.
Well, Lionel Windsor, thanks very much for talking with us tonight.
You're welcome, Dominic. Thank you.
That's Lionel Windsor on the line there, and he's a lecturer at Moore Theological College in Newtown. Well, what do you make of all of that? 1300 13 1170 is our number if you'd like to give us a call, 2CH.